for, you know. What have I started? God's grace and peace be with you, my siblings in Christ, my brothers and sisters. It is so good to see your faces. And thank you so much for the past 10 weeks, for the month and a half or 2.5 months that might have gone by quickly, but for me were life-changing. And as I'm resting and finishing the 300 projects at home that I started and never finished, as I went away for listening to other preachers, and as I went away for a spiritual retreat, as I tended to myself, I had no idea how dry I was, how far from God I kind of had fallen. And then I sit down and I look at the scriptures for this Sunday, and it's about prayer. So God is definitely working, because for goodness sake, that is the one place that I grew the most during my sabbatical. See, look, I'm too distracted and nervous. I was distracted. And for me, prayer back in May had become a, God, I don't know. God, what's going to happen next? And my heart had kind of dried up. I couldn't sit and focus. My prayers really were just me searching for the right words, and I could never find them. And prayer felt empty, that I was speaking to nothingness, and that nothing was responding. This is a hard and sad place to be. And so if you're there today, bookmark Luke 11, this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. See, Jesus went away to pray all of the time. Every single time he had something big happen in his ministry, Jesus was praying first. So as he went to start his ministry, he spent 40 days in the wilderness with God praying. As he went to raise up Lazarus, as he traveled from one town to the next, any time Jesus did something, even going to the cross, it started with prayer. And I think the disciples noticed this, that as he would come down from a time of prayer, he'd say, we're going to go do this now. We're moving on to other towns. And the disciples finally went, Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? Because there was something in Jesus and his prayer that made them want it too. And so Jesus very happily will teach them. Now, most rabbis would take some time to teach their followers a specific prayer, something special that only that rabbi, only that teacher's followers would know. And it would be long, and it would be eloquent. It would have all of the flowery words, and it would be hard to memorize, because it would be a test for those followers how devoted they were. And so these disciples would learn their teacher's prayer, and they'd go off and pray it all by themselves, all secluded and separate from everybody else. But Jesus' prayer isn't a test. Jesus' prayer is not something that's going to set up boundaries to meeting with God. It's not going to build a wall against God. It's going to break them all down. And it is short, and it is memorable, and it is for everybody. Because our translation is, our Father. Not my Father, but our Father. And the us and the our and the togetherness of this prayer is meant to bind us together. And so we pray this prayer, and we still pray this prayer, that to our Father, our parent in heaven, that he would join us together with what God is doing, that what we do and what we want would actually match who God is and what God wants, that we would ask that God's name be stuck on a pedestal, not ourselves, that we could be lifted up and honored, but that God would be the one honored. We'd ask that we could have what we need every day, from food and shelter to friends and family, to having a purpose, to having meaning in life. These are what we ask in daily bread. And then we ask God to help us, because we need a lot of help. In all the times that we don't live up to God's expectations, we ask for God's help to forgive those who don't live up to our expectations. And then we ask for a little help in all of the ways that we get distracted. All the noise that comes up in our life, all the other things that we have to do that are good and wonderful, but that pull us away from listening and being with God. And then we remember whose glory it is in the first place, who owns it all and who's got charge of it all. this God who loves us. If you want to know how to pray, this is a good place to start. This is the two pieces of bread, a little bit of peanut butter, a little bit of jam, stick them together, it will feed you. But Luther often took a practice of taking each line, and sometimes each word of the Lord's Prayer, and turning that into his own prayer. So like the first word, Father. Luther would pause and think of all the good things about a father, about all the wonderful and strengthening things, a protector, a guide, a patient teacher, and give thanks to God for that. And you could take all the worst qualities of fathers, the ways that they have failed you, and that can be your prayer. From one word, you just spent 45 minutes in prayer. Or take the last one, lead us not into temptation. All the ways that you are pulled away from what you feel God is calling you to. To think about all of the temptations that you have fought against, or all the ones that you need a little extra boost in fighting throughout your life. Or how you read the news, and you're tired of hearing the same story again and again of people who make poor decisions and it affects others. Are you tempted to look down on other people because of where they're born? Are you tempted to ignore their problems because they're so far away and we're tucked away nice in Alaska? Are you tempted to treat others as invaluable to God? There's another 45 minutes of prayer. See, each line of the Lord's Prayer is meant to be a springboard for your own. Of what do you need? Of what are you fighting against? What do you need forgiveness for? How are you shaping your life after God? This is a basic prayer. The good peanut butter and jelly that will feed you and help you grow in that faith. Then Jesus tells a story about a neighbor who comes knocking on the door. It's not even the 11th hour, it's midnight and everything has gone wrong. It's not even getting ready for something that's coming. It's everything has hit the fan and I need some help. Can you give me some bread? And our translation, this word only appears once in our scriptures, and it's not persistence. It's not about keep knocking and keep yelling. It's about shamelessness. It's about showing up at the door at midnight and knowing that this is going to be inconvenient for the person you're knocking on the door, but you need something and you cannot hold back. And it's those prayers that God gets up for. Most of the time when we come to God, it's because we're in the 12th hour. It's midnight. Everything has gone wrong. There's nothing else that we can do except beg and plead for something good to happen. And God responds to those prayers. And God responds to the prayers that are in the 11th hour, and God responds to the prayers in the 10th. When we come to God, whether we are desperate or not, God hears our prayers. And that knocking need that we have never goes ignored. But here's the hard part. Is that when we ask and we search and we knock, it says that God will give you what you need. But I know for a lot of people, the cancer didn't get healed, and that the loved one died. Or the bully didn't lighten up, or the workload still was heavy, or the kids still didn't seem to warm up at all or open up at all, or everything that you had prayed for just didn't happen. But God gives good gifts. And I think our answer is in the last line of our scripture. See, I haven't preached in a while. I'm starting to do what Pastor Dan does. Go a little too long. The good gift that God gives us is not always the good thing we ask for. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit who will help us get through whatever it is we're asking for. The cancer may not be healed. Your own prayer life might not change. Your own sense of self or the depression or the anxiety might not let go, but God does not let go of you. The Holy Spirit is the gift that is given to you to carry you through that knocking need, to help guide you in the time when you feel alone, to stand right beside you and hold you in the middle of that time of grief and worry. God knows how to give good gifts, and God never ignores that need we have. I am so glad to be with you. My preaching will get shorter. And God's grace and God's Spirit will continue to live in this place and within your hearts in the days to come. Amen.